Turn with me now in the Word of God to Paul's first letter to the church at Corinth as we read from the first chapter, from the 25th verse. Paul writes, "For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not, to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is, our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. Amen." Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, draw very close now and grant by the ministry of your Holy Spirit that your word might so enter into our hearts that we shall be transformed, that your gospel power might be felt and we renewed to the glory and to the praise of Jesus Christ the King, in whose name we ask all things. Amen. Christmas is a season that is filled with all manner of anticipations, and you can imagine those anticipations. You look at the Christmas tree and you see the presents stacked beneath it. You look around and you anticipate fun, laughter, joy, and the unexpected presents that are there. And the morning after Christmas, there will be expectations unmet, which is why the stores are filled with those returning gifts, unexpected and unwanted. Yet this morning as we gather on the fourth of the Sundays of Advent, it is to celebrate the gift of God to us, the coming of Jesus Christ our Lord into the world. And as we celebrate, it is with a sense of expectation. The expectations that we bring will determine whether or not we find them fulfilled. For to us is born a Savior who is Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus Christ is born, and he is God and God standing in the midst of his people. That was the angelic announcement to those shepherds on their hills. That's the announcement of God by his grace to you and to me. It is the announcement of the gospel. Jesus is the good news. He is the gospel of God. And Paul, as he writes to the Corinthian community, and in these words causes them to think about their expectations, reminds them that Jesus is the gospel and that he is the means of our salvation. In other religions, you find that the founders of those religions all point as to how it is possible for people to save themselves by believing, by working, by employing their spiritual gift. But in Christianity, the founder saves us, and he saves us by his record. So it is that Paul writes here and tells that Christian community, those who glory, let them glory only in the gospel. He who boasts, let him boast in Jesus Christ. For he is reaffirming that salvation is of the Lord. God only comes to his people to save them by grace alone. And that truth, received by God's people, is the means of blessing that will produce no failed expectation in you. Receive that, and you receive the blessing that God will pour into your heart and into your life. Lose sight of the fact that the gospel is Jesus Christ. And you will have failed expectations. And the day after Christmas will produce those sorrows, that sense of failure, and that wondering, what happened? And all of us have been there. I recall Christmas evening, after Christmas evening, thinking, now where did it all go? We spent a month preparing for this. And it's over. What happened? But when you focus upon the gift that does not pass away, it is the gospel of God, then you do not waken with any failed expectation. And so Paul says, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Those who boast, let them boast of God. For the gospel of God is about our salvation. It is Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus given to us. And when we receive that gospel, the gospel of what Jesus has done, living our lives, bringing a perfect obedience that we could not bring, dying our death, whereby he has made a sacrifice to cover the sin that was yours and mine, living and dying in our place, and by God's Holy Spirit, his perfect righteousness applied and counted to you and to me, imputed so that we shall be called children of God. This great transaction, our sins counted to him, his righteousness counted to us, so that we shall be called holy. That's the gospel. It is Jesus. And as we receive him, we receive that gospel. And with it, we receive promise of God. Paul, as he speaks to these Corinthians, reminds them that in receiving that gospel, there is the key to finding God. Every one of us in this room gathers because we want to know God. The gospel that is announced to us in the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ brings us that message that he was the power of God. He didn't come to tell us. He was God with us. And so it is that Paul writes to the Romans and says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. That is, Jesus is the means of our redemption. It's the blessing of God to anyone who would draw near and receive it. It is the very light of the glory of God that is revealed in Jesus Christ. The gospel is the means whereby we find faith. Paul, as he wrote to the Corinthians, speaks about what the gospel does, and he says to them, I gave you birth through the gospel. That is, you have found faith in Christ. You have come to life. You have moved from the kingdom of death and darkness to the kingdom of life and light through the gospel power. It's in Jesus Christ. And this morning, as we bid him welcome and find place for him in our hearts, we are reminded that Jesus, the gospel, is the key to our finding God. And you will not find God outside of him. Indeed, the scripture makes very clear that we will find only idols and worse outside of Christ, and that which we worship beside him will lead only to destruction and disappointment. He comes so that God should be found by those who seek him. And you will not find God outside of Jesus Christ. Oh, you may find glimmers, but you will not know him. You will not know him in the power of his redeeming love, in the gift of his Son, outside of his Christ. And so Paul reminds us that receiving Christ is the key to knowing God at all. But more than that, the gift of Christ is the key also to growing in God. When he wrote to the Colossians, the great apostle said, "All over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing just as it has been since the day you first heard it." And what he means, and what he reminds each of us of the fact, is that the gospel of God is a living thing. It bears fruit. It grows. The gospel is alive. It is not simply some dead intellectual truth that you will lay hold of. It isn't a system of doctrine only that is fit for the mind, any more than the gospel is simply a mystical experience that makes us feel good or brings to us a sense of power. The gospel, Jesus Christ in us, is alive and growing. Oh, there is a content, there is truth, there is doctrine, and that encourages us. And by the power of God's Spirit, it lays hold of our life and it changes us. There is a renewing experience. But it is a gospel power that just like a crop or a tree will grow and spread, so the gospel will grow in men and women, boys and girls in whom Jesus Christ is planted. And the key to growing in God is Jesus Christ in you. And we are reminded on this, the celebration of the fourth Sunday in Advent, that the gospel is the means by which Christians grow. Too often we think of the gospel as that which is necessary only for those who are unbelievers to become believers, and it is certainly that. But the gospel is also the means by which Christians grow. We aren't converted and then leave the gospel at that point. Rather, the gospel goes deep into us. Its truth begins to permeate us. Its power begins to transform us. And its implications revolutionize the way in which we live and move and speak to other people. The gospel transforms. And that's very important for us. Because all too often we imagine that it is by our obedience that transformation takes place, that as we listen to the law, so the law will work in us a way that will cause us to grow. And yet it isn't the law that causes us to become slaves to systems. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ planted and flowering and with freedom setting us free as it bursts the chains that we would set up, chains that are part of our personality and part of our culture. It brings to us a reminder that the gospel sets free by breaking chains. You remember how it began in the early church? when Peter, still convinced of the power of and privilege of being a Jew, is confronted by Paul, and on the basis of the gospel of what Jesus Christ has done, he breaks down the prejudice that would keep Gentile from the church. And the power of the gospel, not of the law, breaks the bond of prejudice and brings to Peter repentance and to the church the freedom of destroying the prejudices that would hold brother from brother and sister from sister. The gospel wasn't growing and bearing fruit till it confronted that prejudice, that cultural heritage, and it continues to do the same in you and in me. The gospel sets us free, and its power sets free both the personality and also the culture. It sets free individual and family and church. It grows in us. And when the gospel is applied, when the power of Jesus Christ is released, then there is renewal. As in the early church, it leapt forward in expansion and advance. So the gospel brings renewal to your soul where you will let it. As it is planted, so it grows and it spreads in such a way that it breaks down the barriers, human barriers that we have created. It brings to us new respect and humility as it reminds us that we are saved by grace, not of ourselves, but of God. And that his purpose. The gospel is true. Its power is renewing. And it works in us. The gospel is the key to your growing in God. But even more, the gospel is the means whereby you can bring service to God that is useful. Jesus came, and we are told he preached the kingdom of God. It was the central truth in all of his teaching and preaching. And he reminded his hearers and his disciples, as he reminds us today, that he has come. The kingdom is, and yet it is not yet complete. For as we celebrate the first advent of Christ's coming into the world, we wait for that day when he shall return. Until that day when Christ shall come again, we live as people who understand that our lives live in the context of an overlap of the ages. The new kingdom of Christ has begun, but the old kingdom of darkness continues. And you see it in the world and you feel it echoed in your heart as the struggle pulls you one way and then the next. And you know, as Paul knew, what it was to love Christ and yet still serve self. And the kingdom battles within you. Ah, says Paul, don't let that stop you from building. For you become servants of Christ. For in the midst of Christian people gathered to honor the Savior, there is a new beginning. There is a new kingdom. And the gospel is the heart of the kingdom. And the gospel at work in you, in us together as a body of Christ, produces both a confidence and a humility. Oh, there's a necessary humility because we recognize the power of darkness, of evil, of sin. We recognize the frailty of our flesh, the fallenness of our humanity. We see it reflected in the way we think and speak and talk to one another. But there is a confidence. Confidence that says that a new kingdom has begun. For Christ is Lord. And the gospel of that kingdom says to you and to me that at the same time as we are sinners, we are justified. At the same time as being children of the earth, we are now called children of God, adopted into His kingdom. At the same time we recognize our frailty, we are called holy. It's true, because we are in Christ. Brothers and sisters, the encouragement of knowing that this is the reality of our life should make it for us an encouragement when we face our own weakness and our own fragility and our own sinfulness, and everybody does, not to be destroyed by that weakness. Because at the same time as being sinner, I am holy. Oh, not my holiness, but Christ's imputed to me. Not my righteousness, but His imputed to me, and a righteousness that cannot fade, nor fail, nor diminish. It is the righteousness of Christ in which I stand. It is the gospel that announces that I am His, and He is my Father. And it raises me in all my weakness to delight in Him who is my God. That's the joy of your soul. That's the inheritance of the power of Christ at work in you. And yet, you know, there are thieves. The Grinch of Christmas is still alive. Only the Grinch is different in the church. The thief of the gospel is legalism that would bind you to a system, or a pragmatism that says you can do without the power of God. Replace it with the power of human ingenuity. Our enemies seek to steal the gospel from our midst, to rob us of its comfort and its power and its grace. The enemies of Christ. Subtle, but at work in your life, when you are told and tell yourself that by your own energy and effort, you must draw close to God, instead of trusting that God has saved. Our enemies attack the gospel, and the enemy is not as simple as secularism. We point our finger at the materialism of the world and say, there is the enemy. It is not that which robs us of the joy of Christ, is the legalism that stalks us. Pragmatism that would replace the power of the gospel with the energy of human creativity. And we lose the dependence upon His love and His grace. We are called not to be moralists filled with rules. Christ did not bring us a new list of commandments to obey. We are not called to rely upon our human creativity, setting irreligious ideals, imagining that we have answers that will solve the problems of the world. We have the gospel. It has said that God is sovereign, and in mercy and grace He has come to us in Jesus Christ, who is born God with us. And He accepts, He welcomes sinners. Indeed, it is only sinners who become His children. As the power of the gospel enables you to find God and grow in Him and serve Him, as the power of the gospel with all its transforming grace enters into your soul, receive Him who comes the gift of God. For everything is given to you in the Savior, Jesus our Emmanuel. He renews, He transforms heart and mind and soul and home and church.
But he does it by the gospel of his grace. Take hold of it. And he mercy, take hold of you this morning. Let his love, his power, the sacrifice, the service of the Savior be his gift to your heart, and may it be the blessing of redemption to your soul. For this is the gift of grace. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, you have come to us, and the power of your gospel lifts us and draws us to yourself. Grant to our eyes that we shall see it, and to our hearts that we shall trust it, as we find in you the one who only is faithful, whose saving power revealed from beginning to end is our perfect plea and hope. In Jesus Christ our Lord, God with us, to whom is praise both now and ever. Amen.